what I want to talk about today leads into the fear of the Lord. It clearly shows in 2 Timothy 3, the fear of the Lord just totally missing. So the focus on what I want to talk about today is 2 Timothy 3. I mean, I've got 1 through 9 on there. I don't know if we'll get all the way through 9, but I definitely want to go through 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 at least. And I've just taken the time to really break down each one of the first five verses in 2 Timothy 3. The reason why this has been heavy on my heart is because I use this a lot as just a reference point. You can go back and listen to all the podcasts. You'll hear me throughout references of, in the last days, perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves and self-centered. And right, we use that a lot because it's true. We're living in that day. Here's what you got to understand, and this is, I guess, what I want to pull out of this first, is 2 Timothy is really Paul's, and some of you might know this, but if you don't, I want to try to pull this out in a way that we understand it. 2 Timothy is essentially Paul's last written words to one of his champions, his son in the faith. I mean, he was writing this from prison, you know, lonely and abandoned. He was by himself. You can read in the book that Paul knew his earthly life was coming to an end. So being that this book was his last words, and to me, I look at it as a way of, outside of Jesus Christ himself, this man had more downloaded revelation knowledge than any man on the planet. And yet his last words was this. I think we need to step back and take a little advice from a man that has the downloaded plan. I mean, we really do. So keep in mind as we go through this, because there's some definite warnings, but this whole thing ends with all positive. But I think what most of the time gets preached today is the positive spin, right? We know the end of the book. We win. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff that beats out the negative. But there's so many warnings in here that I don't think we have the luxury of skipping the warnings and just going to the end of the book. That's why it was written to us. If we didn't need the meat and the potatoes in the middle, it wouldn't be in there. So this is the same guy, and you can read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. And I just want to show you, this is the guy that, he's been through the mill. This is Paul just kind of writing some of the issues that he has had on earth. And this is why I want to set the tone in this, to understand the bigger picture where this guy was going and how critical it is to us today. So he's basically saying, I am more and labor's more abundant. So he's worked. This guy works, man. Not afraid to work. He's not afraid to get the gospel out there. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, oft. Nearing death. I mean, get the life beat right out of this turkey. I mean, we rarely encounter anything like what he's going through. Of the Jews, and now he's talking about, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know what that's talking about? The 39 lashes. Right? Five times now he's gone through this. Five times. Too many. I mean, 39 is enough. He goes on to say, thrice, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Stuck out on the ocean, right? In journeyings often, in perils of waters. In perils. And it's just, you know, problems, right? Because again, perils, I like to look it up. Danger. You know, in danger of robbers, in danger of my own countrymen, in danger by the heathen, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So basically what he's saying there is, not only am I encountering all of this craziness, I got to put up with the Christians. I like the Timmy G version better, you know? That's what he said. I got to put up with the, on top of getting beat, I got to deal with your crap. Sounds good, don't it? That's what the man said. But then he goes on with this. And this is where, you know, to me, I mean, you got to understand. You think you've been through something? Read this again. And then at the end of it, in verse 29, he says, who is weak? And I am not weak. You know what he's saying? Who is offended? And I burnt not. You know what he's saying in those two things? You think you got problems? The little dealings that you're going through, and yet you're crying about being weak, and you're offended because someone stepped on your toes, and look what I've been through. And yet I'm not weak, and I'm not offended. So he champions himself to say, I have been through the mill. What's your problem? I mean, do you pick that up when you read that? That's what he says. I love it. So again, I only use that as a stepping stone to understand what's going to happen next in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. It's good stuff, man. You know, I like that in my own life, using those things. I mean, what is this life really about? That we've got to worry about any stinking thing that happens to us. If our mind is set on where we're going, not where we're at, you can go through anything. He's proof of that. Anything. If your mind is set. Our minds just aren't set. They're just kind of, you know, all over the place. And it brings me to the whole thought pattern of a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. If you're set, you're set. You cannot be persuaded. This is where he was at. And this is where I'm trying to get us to. So let's start with verse 1 in 2 Timothy 3. But understand this. So here's where it gets just comical to me. Almost comical to the point where he says, but understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times. Perilous times is really hard to do, to take, to approach, to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce. All that goes into that, perilous times. So the man that just told us everything in life that he's been through is saying, listen, it's going to be harder on you once I leave. I'm departing. I'm out of this earthly abode. I'm taking residency in heaven. It's up to you now. I'm passing the torch, right? But he says it's going to be harder to be a Christian as time goes on than it is for me today. To me, that is, you know, a while ago, it's like, how can it be harder? Well, I mean, clearly you can see today, it's harder to be a Christian today because you don't know who's a Christian and who's not. There's a Christian charade out there right now. So you have no idea what you're really dealing with. He's basically saying, I would rather be beaten and know who my accuser is than living amongst these hypocrites and not knowing. In a nutshell, that's where he's going. He would rather be beaten and know straight up what's going on than to deal with what we have to deal with today. Okay? So the last days, you know, last days really from the time of Jesus until now. And again, perilous. I want to make sure that we do this because I really, you know, when I want to talk about something, I go through every single word in the Greek and cross-reference to go through this stuff. Do you know that where he's talking about in the last days, perilous times will come? Do you know that word for perilous only shows up one other time in the entire New Testament? Only once. And it was used in Matthew 8:28, and it refers to the two violent men that were possessed by demons that came out of the tomb, fiercely opposing Jesus. And it even goes on to say that they were so fierce that no man could get by them. That perilous word, that's the only other reference in the entire Bible, and it's used in that sense. That same thing, two ravaged, violent men's possessed with demons, coming flying out of this tomb, is the same likeness as what Paul relates what our world's going to be like. It's the only other time. Study it out. It's crazy to see that. You know, so again, he's telling Timothy, terrible time's coming. But he does it in a way that he puts exclamation points on it. Like, understand this. Like, almost stop. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Don't take it lightly. But again, today, I think we just kind of read over a lot of the stuff, and we don't heed the same warnings that he's writing in here. I mean, I think Timothy took it for what he wrote, but we really don't. We skip on and go past it. So pay attention. So I wrote, don't be naive and think that everything is going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. We were warned about that. And the cool thing about being warned in the Bible is being forewarned is forearmed. So now we're armed with the information, we're armed with the truth to know that if and when these things come at us, joy should immediately come bubbling out of us because the Bible that most Christians aren't 100% certain of, that is a proof in the pudding that it's accurate. And I say that, well, I don't care if it hurts someone's feelings or not, because most professing Christians today don't even know the Bible. The Bible says to not let the word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Amen. Are we? Do you have that? On a whole, not so, right? On a whole. Most of the time, the cares of this world are what is permeating out of our being, not the word. So when I say that, I'm not saying it to bring any type of condemnation, but I'm saying it in a way that it bothers me that we have this and we do very little with it. But the promises that come out of it, we have access to. We're just not taking it. And again, that's where we're going with this thing. So, you know, I put like this. A pregnant woman knows when she's going to give birth based on the frequency and the severity of the labor pains, right? The same thing it says, where Jesus even said, you know the weather by the color of the sky, but you don't know the time of day, you know, in biblical terms, right? Same thing. How do we not see exactly what Paul's writing about so heavy on us today? We should. It's just dripping off of the atmosphere around us that everything he said is going to happen. It's happening faster than ever, and yet we just have our family, we go to work, we do our little things, when we try to separate ourselves from the reality of what's really going on out there. To me, it's almost like a half-hearted attempt at self-preservation. If we can just separate ourselves from the reality, then we just don't have to deal with it. And that's the exact opposite of what the Bible says for us to do. We should be hitting it head on, and then all the blessings come after it. So to me, I just, again, we got a backwards view at this thing. But I wholeheartedly believe that any test, any trial, anything that's going on, and remember what we talked about, you know, the light, or I had that vision that day where there's a match lit and you got a little glow around it. There's not another light in 400 miles from you. But if there's one match, there's a little glow. You can kind of see a little glow around one match. But when the Bible says to fan into flames, the gift that's in you, the Holy Spirit, and the flame gets bigger and bigger, while the light from that flame gets bigger, the sphere of darkness gets bigger, we should be eagerly looking to encounter as much darkness as we possibly can, because Paul says, I count it all joy. I count it all joy when these tests and trials come at me. We count it as a freaking problem. We don't want no problems. We don't want no issues. We just want to live our, you know, our life, you know, the good American life. We just want to do that, right? So we're doing the exact opposite. We don't count it joy. Instantly, when a problem hits us, what do? Right? Do you see a problem in that? Instead of instantly getting joyous and going, yep, the Bible said it was going to happen, just enjoy the moment. But we don't. We got a perverted view of what this Bible says. I wholeheartedly believe it. And that's why I get so excited about it. Count it all joy when faced with trials. Now, again, let's separate the lies from the truth. We're not talking about sickness. We're not talking about problems. We're talking about encountering life issues because you are the light and darkness is trying to get to you. That's it. We're not talking about the stuff that shouldn't be. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. Because we don't entertain and we don't count the things that aren't real as joy. Sickness is not to me. There's nothing. It says the man of God should be thoroughly equipped for all good works. Sickness, poverty, all that kind of stuff, there's no joyous moments in that. But people take this to the extreme and say, well, you know, God's teaching me a lesson in this, or I'm supposed to just not have this in order to suffer through that. That's a lie of the devil. And he's got you right there where he wants you, and you're going to stay there until you say, The Bible says, I am this and I am that. And I got 91 scriptures in the back where it says who I am in Christ, and I am this and that. So back off me, buddy. Right? We don't do that, though. Again, it's a whole other deal that we can go off on for hours on that, because I wholeheartedly believe if we're in Christ, he is a shield, a buckler. Nothing can get to us. So we've got to protect ourselves in him. We've got to get in him. And in him is seeking him first. Which, again, we're just not doing wholeheartedly. It doesn't say love God with the little bit of your heart, right? Love God as much as you can today, Doug. And you know what? It'll be okay. The Bible doesn't say that. We have twisted it to mean that. When I have time for those 5 minutes, on Saturday morning, afternoon, or it depends on what's going on, sometime in the afternoon, for 5 minutes, man, I'm going to give it my all. You're plumb crazy. Missing the big picture. That's why there's problems in our lives. I'm not even on the message, but all these things are really tying in because we are jacking our own selves up. It's just a bad deal. All right, let's go to verse 2. I just got to at least get to verse 2. All right, so I'll read it, and then we'll talk about some of this stuff. And again, these are some of the warnings that we're told for people. I don't even know what translation I have here. And because it's got some parentheses, this one might be amplified, but it says, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. He could have stopped right there. Honestly, he could have stopped right there because most of it falls under that. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth. Again, there's nothing bad with money, but if your focus is on money, not the good that the money can do, if you become a lover of people, having money blesses people. So again, there's so much in there. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will have abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. So this is just verse 2. And again, when you read through those things, go to the Strong's Dictionary and look these words up. The American language puts one word for one word in the Greek. If you look up ungrateful, you would probably go, uh-oh, do I have any of that? I might, because there's a lot in that when you look it up, you know, in the Greek. So again, I challenge you in that. Take this, take every verse that we're going through. It's only five verses that we're going to talk about today. Look up the Greek words and kind of back into the thing so you understand how massive this thing is. You know, disobedience to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. It is insane. Let's go to verse 3. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhumane. There's nobody out there like that right now, is there? Right? Think about this in our world today as I roll through this. Relentless, admitting no truce or appeasement. Just saying, I ain't wrong. You're wrong. I ain't wrong. Always got to be right. Is there anyone out there like that? Always got to be right. Now, I'm not saying if you are right, that's a different story. They will be slanderers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals and conduct. Just that alone, loose in morals and conduct? Whew. Uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. The Bible goes on talking about the difference in that, haters of good. Like, for example, Isaiah 5:20, it says, whoa. I mean, to me, that's a big moment. God says, whoa. Slowly roll. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. That puts darkness for light and light for darkness. Are we doing that in this country today? And we're buying into it. We're just going along with it. Some of it's not starting to be so subtle. It has slowly crept in, but now we're just taking big chunks out of morals. So it's getting worse faster. And we're not doing anything about it. Remember I said 83% still claim to be Christians in America, 250 million people. And yet if just a couple percent of us stood up, the laws that are being enacted would not go into play.
Amen to that.
But we're doing nothing. So again, that's what I want to challenge. Verse 4, they will be treacherous. He's going on, right? He's telling us everything that's going to happen today. And all you got to do is quickly look around and go, dang near every single thing he's talking about is right here in our face today. Loud and proud, baby. Every bit of it. And it's okay now. It wasn't okay a few years ago, but now it's okay. Inflated with self-conceit, they will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. You know, every time, I'll just give you this as an example. Every time we go to a football game, or every time we go to a concert, or every time we go do or see something, because I don't think we need to be just totally sheltered people. I think we need to get out there and do some stuff. But every time we go to these things, I'm telling you, there hasn't been a time in the last year or more, 2 years, that I'm saddened. Almost entirely. Hey, I loved watching Dolly Parton. We went to Grand Rapids, Dolly Parton. She is the funniest 70-year-old lady I have ever seen in my entire life. I said, she did not just say that. Yes, she did. I'm telling you, it was like a concert. It was almost like a Christian concert comedy show. Very clean. The lady talked about Jesus at every moment she could get her mouth opened. I'm telling you, almost entirely. But then she would talk about some of the funniest stuff that you just don't see clean, funny anymore. So I would go watch her again and again and again. But even with that, I look and I just see these stadiums full of people going goo goo gaga over a person. But yet, we can't get people fired up on the Lord anymore. We just can't. It's nowhere near the same. Even if you fill a stadium, and I know there's some stadiums being filled out there, the love is not, to me, it doesn't feel like it's as great as what's going into these superstars in our society. I'm not saying everybody's bad. I'm not saying all the churches. I'm not. But I'm saying, I'm looking at this thing as a big picture. I wholeheartedly believe I got to call for the big picture moments and what is going on big picture, not on an individual level. You know, sometimes people take me wrong in that, but on a whole, you know, if you're dialed in and something I say comes across as you're not doing it, that's not what I'm saying. On a whole, the Christian community is failing miserably. Okay? If you do get a couple jabs and you feel it, well, maybe you aren't playing your part like you should, and we need to step it up. I'd rather have six wholehearted, all-in people together than 6,000. I really would. So you see that, verse 2 through 4, I mean, it really gives us a sobering catalog of corruption. I mean, this is the stuff that happens, you know, when a nation turns its back on God. And you almost see that here in our nation. You know, we're coming to a point where there's nearly a complete rejection of God. And we're not there yet. But it's coming close to the point where there's going to be a rejection. It's coming. Exhibit A, I mean, America, it's coming. Fast. Because people are unholy, ungrateful. Lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, it absolutely leads to a moral collapse. And it just continues and continues and continues. So the problem is, I mean, and I've got lots of different problems with it, and I don't even know how to, I'll go on. I mean, there's so many problems that we've got to figure out how to fix it. But again, with everything we talk about, I'll talk about that in just a second. It's clear as a bell to me what's going on. And it's so exciting to the point that it's lining up with Scripture, which confirms in my heart, right? So then what that does to me is it fills me with joy in a way that it's joy, but I got work to do. You know what I mean? It's an uh-oh moment to me. I have uh-oh moments and say, listen, somebody's got to do it. And the Bible is clear, you know, the greater works. Who's going to do it? And I think there's going to be so many people that come to time and we're going to face Jesus, right? And he's going to go, what did you do with your life, man? Here's the plan I had for you. I mean, what did you do? You wasted it. We have given in so much that we don't even have the audacity to challenge people on their lifestyle or their life choices anymore. The church will not challenge people on their lifestyle and life choices anymore. Anyone is trying to rise up. The system, the world system, is trying to squeeze it out. So when I say it's almost there, the nation is getting close to just a total turn in its back. The message that we did last week, the salt and the light, it says if you are the salt, no, that was 2 weeks ago, if you are the light, you cannot hide a light. So the people that are out there saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm just not going to speak my piece there. You can't hide a light. It says you don't put a light under a barrel. You are the light. You can't be partial, sometimes, you are. And if it goes to your death or you're being fired or whatever it is, you're still the light. And when you back down from that, then you're saying, God is not enough. I have to control my own destiny. So these people that are standing up, I commend them. Get fired. Get your head lopped off. Good for you. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantly. So what are you going to do to me? But we've got to get bold in a way that we are willing to go that far. We're not. It's no wonder why children are no longer disciplined or obedient. Whether it's the parents no longer being able to whoop their butts or the schools taking religion out. No matter what it is, you can clearly see the decline. It's no wonder our society is degrading faster and faster. Think about it. Just in 1960, you could barely see a woman's shoulder on TV. now, if you don't see boobs, hear foul language, watch something blow up, somebody dying, it's a boring movie. I'll take it one step farther. It's no wonder why divorce has become commonplace, even amongst Christians. Even when the Bible says some stuff about divorce. I'm forgiven, right? I mean, there's some major things, but we just take it so lightly. And again, that's because this is gone. It's gone. So we got nothing to fear. Or now, you know, redefining marriage. The heck with a husband and wife. We have now started to wholeheartedly redefine marriage to allow homosexualities to marry. Okay, you think that's bad? I promise you, in the next 5 years, polygamy's coming. I guarantee you, next 10 years, bestiality will be legalized in our country. I guarantee it. Our moral compass has shifted to where we will allow one thing. All enough people have to do is say, well, listen, why are they okay? We're not. There are lawsuits pending right now in America for bestiality, saying that it is unlawful and unconstitutional that you tell me what I can and cannot do with my horse. There's lawsuits pending in America today. What are they going to be able to say? As long as you don't hurt the animal, you're free to do what you want. It's going to happen. I promise you. It's going to go beyond that. But listen, guys, here's where, to me, the good news starts coming back in with Paul. He says this stuff is going to happen, and we're going to see a lot of it. But I believe this is why Jesus said that unless those days were shortened, no one would survive. Because of us, the Christians, the light of this world, we will be taken out before the society crashes upon us. So I believe it's coming. I really, really do. All right, verse 5. Let's roll right in this thing. Although a form of religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. I love the way the Amplified puts that. It's to say they deny the power in New King James and a lot of the other ones. This says they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Woo! That's a big moment. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Fake. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. There is so much in verse 5. There's so much in verse 5, and there's problems within this, and I'm going to share some of the problems that I see, and hopefully you guys got more. I'm not all inclusive in this thing. We got to make sure we're all on the same page. So to me, the really bad news comes in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. It says have nothing to do with them. The word form means something like having an outward appearance, and that's exactly what Robin just said. We have an outward appearance. And I call it charades. It's a Christian charade. We put on this Christian mask, but underneath, that's what happens. That is, in the last days, as men turn away from God, they will become more religious, not less. It's a warning in there. They'll be more religious, not less. Religion will become more popular as we approach end times. Because people are going to seek refuge into something, but they're not going to seek refuge in the truth. They're going to seek refuge in a form of religion, something they feel a part of. And I've called it many times, you know, the Jesus gang. People want to be a part of something because they have this big hole in their heart because it's not filled with God. So the people inside have this inner gnawing all the time. Whether they like to admit it or not, they're always seeking for something. And what they end up finding is lust and drinking and drugs and problems and everything else because they're trying to find something that will spike a high in them to fill something, but then it goes. So they're having a trouble finding that inner peace. So again, that's what all this is saying. You know, they're going to ask the right questions, but they're going to follow the wrong answers. It will be religion for religion's sake, not religion for the sake of knowing Christ. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of these people, they're going to join churches. They're going to get baptized. They're going to say things. They're going to put on the facade. They're going to be right next to us. Didn't it say, you're not going to know the wheat from the tares? They're going to grow up together. And then all of a sudden, right? It all ties together. We are here living in this right now. So here, you know, just talking about a couple of these things, avoid such people. Now, when it says avoid such people, what does that mean to us today? That's wrong. Right? Why would I avoid them? I'm supposed to be there to help them, right? It says to avoid them. They already know the truth. They're denying it. Now it says to avoid them. In today's world, in our society, that is judgmental. It's narrow-minded. It's rude. It's unkind. It's unfair. It's not politically correct in the church sense. But the Bible, not me, says avoid all such people. Don't associate with them. Now, what's some of the big issues with that? I'm going to tell you three, and if you guys have any more, you let me know if I don't hit on it. The first big issue, today, the church is divided. Sorely divided. And Paul warned about that in the book of Acts. And he says, aren't you just earthly? And he says, you're living like a mere human. Don't you know now that you are supernatural in your being? And you're just going to act as a mere human when you're going to divide yourself one from another. That's what he says. Read Acts. When it says, I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos, he says, aren't we one in Christ? When you separate yourself, you're acting as just a mere human. What does that mean? When we are in Christ, we are superhuman. We don't think that way. We're not taught that way. That's the way Paul wrote it. I didn't make it up. He says, you're acting as a mere human. Combine yourselves. Get to superhuman strength. You can accomplish all things. We're not doing that. So the big issue is that is, in the first church, right, when they were talking, if they had a brother or sister in church and they were going astray, they could literally shun them. Where are they going to go? Church of Christ? Free Methodist? Methodist? Lutheran? Catholic? Baptist? Where are they going to go if they're shunned from the church? Nowhere. They feel like dirt bags, and they want to do anything they can to get back in the good graces of the church. You can't do that today. You get shunned from one church, they go, I didn't like you anyways. And they go right to the next church. Right? So you cannot today, and this is a struggle that I'm having, today we cannot do this in the way that we're instructed in the Bible. Because you can't. You can from one little thing, but they just leave and go somewhere else. There's no accountability. They'll go to the other place talking bad about the one that tried to be correct. And then the other new church will go, oh, we love you, brother, just come in here. And then there's no accountability. And you can see how that goes from one to the next to the next. And the accountability is just gone at this point. So that's one major problem. You know what the second one is to me? To me, the second one is people in church don't know the Bible well enough to discern right from wrong. They have bits and pieces, but most people that get challenged fall apart like a cheap suit. Most people. And that's the bad part of what our Christian religion has done for us in America. We are not living it. We're not seeking God first. It has departed from our mouth, right? We're not meditating on the word day and night. So all the cares of the world are creeping in. And again, we just give God a little bit. So we cannot discern the truth to even correct a brother or sister properly, right? Like Jesus said, how are you going to try to correct someone with a speck in their eye when you got a plank in yours? You can't. So we're walking around with planks in our eyes, and we don't even know how to correct someone. We just feel for them. So we've gone to the Christian, I feel for you, Doug. I'll pray for you, man.
Thank you. Do, please.
You know what I mean. I will. But with that, what I'm saying is we have this default mechanism that,
superficial,
yeah. Even if we see somebody hurting in need, that'll be all right, brother. We'll pray for you. Again, that's more religious crap. They don't need prayed for at the moment. They need loved on. Love on them first, and then pray for them. But we won't take time. I told, and you know who it was? It was Tracy. I was talking to Tracy yesterday, and we were talking about something, him trying to gather people for this weekend to go, you know, signs on the street in Lansing and whatnot. And he told me, and before he even got it out of his mouth, I said, because he's going to the churches in Lansing. He says, I'm petitioning all these churches to, you know, send some people out. We'll try to hit all these street corners. I said, Tracy, I promise you, you'd be well served to ask for the churches to help fund it, and then you pay somebody like Little Caesars $10 an hour to hold the sign on the corner. He was like, you know, he said, yeah. In all the years I've been trying to do this, I've only had two churches reply. I said, but if you petition for money and show the vision of what you want to do, you'll have some funds that you can pay someone $10 to do it. People don't know. If you're just holding a sign in the intersection, it don't matter if it's Little Caesars or God loves you. Right? He was like, I never thought about that. But in the reality, if you want to accomplish the goal, people don't want to give up their time, even in churches. But now, the way we've been programmed, Oh, you know, it's equally. If I give and you do, then it works. Maybe if you're doing two, but that's an excuse at this point. And I think we've been oversold on that. You give, I'll do, and we all win. You can't do it all by yourself. But again, where in the Bible does it say that? You don't have to do nothing as long as you give. It's not in there. It's not in there. So again, that's just one more thing that's a little tic-tac in my mind that people are eating right now. It's not true. It says to go ye, go, man. I mean, our job is to go. So I told him I'll go. You know, I don't got no problem. You know, but that's what we need. You know, the Bible says, you know, pray the Father. You know, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. He did, right? So it's few. Anyways, that's a big issue in that. Let me see if there's anything else for I wholeheartedly believe, just reading this, you know, Christians are called to be different. Not different in a bad way, but different. We are supposed to stand out in a dark world. If we are the light and we know that we're light, we should be standing out like a pillar of light in a dark world. We should be seen. We should be making a difference. But again, to me, even reading these things, you don't know who's Christian and who's not anymore, because you don't know really who has light and who doesn't. Well, that means none of them have light. If you really can't tell the difference, there's a problem in the whole bunch. Somebody should be standing out like a light. And it shouldn't be just a pastor at the church. It should be everybody, man. There should be little light beams going off in every direction. I mean, it really should. But again, it's not. So we're called to be different. We're called by God to make a difference. You know, I believe we're supposed to not only stand strong, be encouraged, you know, through this world's system. We're supposed to know it's coming, be joyful in it, and then also what comes along with that. Paul also wrote Philippians 4:8, be anxious of nothing, right? So knowing all these things are happening, we should have the joy of the Lord, and we should be anxious of nothing. What's going wrong with that? People are jumping on the TV, right? The boob tube, man, and watching all the craziness that's going on there, and they let fear come in. Again, I haven't watched TV. The most I can honestly say that I watch is sometimes when I get on the Weather Channel, because I check the weather all the time because I fly, they got little videos on there. So sometimes I'll watch those little videos. Outside of that, I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And in that regard, I really don't care, because the world's system is not going to infiltrate my mind. If it's not the Bible, I don't have nothing to do with it. And you know what? It's working for me. Seriously. And it's getting to the point where people can't deny that fact. Businesses are going good. Things are happening. Things are falling in place. You know, it's just working. All the blessings that this thing is showing, they're coming to pass. But I'm seeking. I'm trying to find. I'm passionately trying to find. And most people are just wanting to show up a little bit. And I'm telling you, these benefits that the fear of the Lord has, it's there. Every single one of them. And, you know, and I start looking through to my life. Where am I at? Is there something I'm missing? Right? What? Well, then maybe it's just me not understanding that I should have that. And then most of the time it can be an easy decision. I don't even know what to pick on here, honestly. I mean, awesome wife, I got that. I mean, read these things. It's pretty cool. But what I mean by this is, if you can go through here and you say, well, you know, I really don't have peace. I don't have a strong confidence in rest. Well, first of all, chances are these verses aren't like permeated through your being. Once you get those verses in there and you know who you are in that, and because it says it's who you are, and you make a decision that you believe what it says, that stuff comes. Again, there's no magic potion to this, and I wholeheartedly believe people will even look at this thing and go, well, now I gotta go ask God to give me this stuff. Any one of those promises that are there, if you have the fear of the Lord, you don't have to ask for anything. It's automatic. If, as Jesus put so many wonderful times, if you love me, if you have the fear of the Lord, then all this stuff is just, it's just a natural reaction. It's a byproduct of your faith. So again, don't get caught up in, now I got to go ask God to give me peace, and I got to go ask him to do. No, you don't. You got to seek him. Like he's the finest treasure you'll ever find on this planet. And the fear of the Lord will be known to you. And then the fear of the Lord opens up at this point until somebody in here finds another one. 35 benefits. And when you read these benefits and you actually read the scripture that goes along with it, it does not hold anything back. There's no gray area. The way it's written in the Bible with the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament and the New, and if it wasn't supposed to happen, why would it be tattooed through the whole Bible? There's something missing from the Christian walk today. But what I'm saying by that is when you read this, and again, I just put my interpretation of it down on the left side, right? But like this one, heavenly secrets revealed. That's my language. You can call it whatever you want. To me, heavenly secrets revealed. I want to know more about the kingdom of heaven. I want to know. And it says, seek and you'll find. I'll show you. But to me, Psalms 25:14, it says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So when I say it's clear in what the promises are, read them. It doesn't like beat around the bush. It doesn't leave anything for your mind to kind of like roll into. It's bam, right there. Psalms 128, 1 and 2, I added this one just today. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and who follow his ways. So there's work behind it too. There's always that corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. You have to have both. You can't do one without the other. So how joyful are those who fear the Lord? So the more happy you see me, the more I think I'm falling into this. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Thank God that's in there. So again, you can go through these things and you can read them for yourself. It's not great. Fear of the Lord equals this. Fear of the Lord equals that. I mean, it's so clear cut. And I guess that's why I'm so excited about it, because I've read the Bible over and over and over, and I've never been able to connect it in a way that it is just like, you got to be freaking kidding me. This is incredible. Dig into these things, man. Go through these. Make sure I actually put them in here right. You can't take my cheat sheet and now put it in your Bible and go, okay. You have to make ownership of this. Like I have for weeks and weeks now. Digging in and finding every fear of the Lord scripture and how does it relate to my life and what is the benefit and how important is it to me in the Old Testament and the New. All right? I take ownership of it. So that way, I can truly have these things. But I promise you, if you don't take ownership of it, there's struggles happen. We're not talking about the tribulations that come for us in our faith. We're talking about crap that shouldn't be happening because we are missing this. Take ownership of this. Please, please, please take ownership. So where are you guys at? I mean, are you feeling me tonight? Hey, I'm done with where I'm at, so if anybody wants to leave, feel free. I thank you guys for coming out, but if you want to stick around and chat about anything we talked about.